Station number 16711, Mr. Fred Walsh, Reel 1.
Mr. Welsh, Reel 1. Where were you born, Mr. Welsh?
Morrison Terrace, Furriel Station, 10th of the 10th, 1919.
What kind of an area was Furriel Station?
Colliery area, next to Mainford Colliery.
Mining community?
Mining community, yeah.
Close-knit community?
Yes, very close. Very good place to live, Morrison Terrace, at that time.
What other members of the family did you have?
I had three sisters and two brothers.
Did your father work down the colliery?
Father was a deputy at Mainstress Colliery, having moved from West Cornford Colliery.
Had he served in the First World War?
No, he was never in the forces.
Did your mother work for a living?
No. He had enough on her hand looking after a big family.
Well, what age were you in the family itself?
I was the youngest son. Brothers were older and sister was the eldest. And they all worked at the colliery.
You live in a colliery house?
We lived in Morrison Terrace, which was belonged to Dorman Long in those days.
Your memories of your childhood, were they pleasant memories?
Very pleasant. Being the youngest, I got a few more privileges than others did.
What kind of things did a child growing up at that time do? What kind of things did you do as a child growing up at that time?
Well, I'm from a very sporting family. And in Morrison Terrace is also Mainstress Colliery cricket field, where two brothers played cricket, and mother, as long as I can remember, made teas for the cricket. So consequently, my time was spent on the cricket field from the age of 10 and 11. I would be in there. And then, winter time, the two brothers were quite good footballers. So I went around with them watching their little bit careers. Furriel Athletics, Spennymoor United, Bowburn Colliery. They played all over, even as far out as Harrogate.
What kind of house was it in the sense of what rooms did you have?
It had the old back kitchen, a huge dining room and a beautiful sitting room, and three bedrooms upstairs. But in those days, no bathroom.
So there was plenty of room for the family?
Bags of room for the family. Mother was good. See 21 people by monopolising some tables from the cricket field whenever we had a Christmas party, a birthday party, which in those days were all spent at home.
Your memories of bringing up in the family situation, were you all right for money? Were you plenty of money in the house?
I wouldn't say there was a lot of money in the house, no. But as I say, being the youngest, I suppose money never entered my mind in those times. But now I can remember really how poor we were. Such things as Morrison Terrace was where mostly overmen, under managers, surveyors, head mechanics, they all lived there because it was near the colliery. And one day sticks out in my mind when all my friends bought a bicycle. I couldn't get a bicycle. So I spent a wholesome holiday running about on a farm, actually.
You said your father was a deputy.
Yes.
A position of some authority in the mine itself. So he would be paid that little bit more than the hewer or the...
A little bit more, I should imagine.
Did you get things like your coal free?
Coal was free, and I would say Mainz would be among the first collieries, which was a great boon to my mother, to have pithead baths at Mainz. So the three lads weren't bringing home dirty pit clothes to dash in the back street on the wall.
Were you in a situation where the older boy's clothing was passed down to you?
No, I can't remember that. I can't remember that.
Food? Plenty of food in the
house?
Oh,
plenty of food. My mother was brilliant at that. And very proud, so that I can't remember hand-downs. Probably happened before my time, but it never happened to me.
Did your father have an allotment or garden to supplement the food?
Gardens were across the road. Each house in the street had a garden across the road, which we all tended to in our turns.
Were your parents keen church or chapel goers?
Mother was very chapel, Methodist, very old station. The girls were always in the choir at Ferry Hill Station, and we had to go to Sunday school, and we had to go to Sunday night services until we were coming up to 17 or 18. And my mother kept that church, her church, going as long as she could to be an old lady. Pa never went to chapel. But his religion was in the fields. He used to love to be in the fields among nature. He really often objected to us bringing bunches of flowers home. He said they belonged in the countryside, not in our house.
Many miners seem to have that feel for nature in the fields, and then working down the pits and then coming up into daylight.
Well, I suppose it was a great chance to get good fresh air. Because out our back street, two fields over, were three woods, which were never private. You could walk in them, and Pa used to sit over there for hours on end with his pipe and under his own tree, we used to say. And he could know wherever any nests were that I could never find, but he would never show you, because he would never let you have eggs in the house. There's other lads collected birds' eggs, not blood.
Did you become involved in chapel activities? Did they have Boy Scouts or Boys Brigade?
No, we didn't know. I'm afraid all my activities, all my life, have been sport. As I say, I started to play. The brothers played cricket, the two sisters played tennis, and I ran about that cricket field as long as my mother would allow me, or every night in the summer, which is 9 to 5:30. And you got on to school cricket teams, and that followed on. You went and joined the Mainsforth Cricket Club, and then I played cricket for Mainsforth, going through all the teams, thirds, seconds, and odd times for the first team.
Very sporting, active life.
The whole family was very sporting, and the family behind me, the nephews and nieces, are all still the same. So that's all we did. I'm saying all we did. We're very proud of what we did.
Did your father become involved in the big strikes of the 1920s?
I don't think he'd be in. He was on strike. but I don't think he would be a speaker, or I don't think he'd be on marches. In fact, one of my first memories is going with him onto the pit heap, which was just out our front, to pick coals off the pit heap, and he used to carry the bags home. I'd be 1926, I'd be seven.
You have no memories of the hardship of the time, have you?
No, I don't think, I don't remember soup kitchens, I don't remember, I think as I say, my life, till I went into the army, was centred round Ferry Hill Station. We came occasionally up Ferry Hill Village, you go to pictures, but otherwise, we were down Morrison Terrace. We went for walks round those fields. We went blackberrying in that area. We trespassed on in the pit yard, riding about in bogies when we were little lads. But as I say, I was too young to remember hardships, and my mother took the hardships, and I suppose the sisters, because I had one sister who was unfortunately very clever. But being the eldest of a big family, father would never allow her to go to grammar schools that we knew those days. Her duty was to get a job, and she was put straight out to work. A thing she always was sorry about in her later life.
What was your home discipline like? The kind of discipline your parents used with you?
Well, it was a strict discipline, but it wasn't a hardish discipline. If the lads got into any argument, for instance, about football on a Monday, we discussed the weekend's football. If it got too heated, father would say, that's enough, and it was enough. Yeah, I suppose I was smacked as a little boy, but what they said, you did. You went to Sunday school. You didn't stop off school for no reason. You had to be. You didn't play games on a Sunday in those days. You had to get your best clothes on, go to Sunday school, go for a walk in the evening, come back and get changed, put your good clothes away. But it wasn't harsh discipline.
Was there at that time, in your experience, a great deal of help from neighbours? Were they closely knitted together in that way?
We lived in a very good street. Just the one big thing, for instance, I would say every year, all us lads, there was about six or seven of us in the street, all mates, could knock on every door in that street. We'll get pennies and twopences for which we would buy this season's football. And when you were old enough, when I was old enough, I went potato picking, and the pennies that we got, seven and six, I think it was, you bought a pair of football boots. And everyone in the street at Easter gave you an Easter egg. Whether we were good singers or not, I don't know, but we'd always get a penny or two for carol singing. But very few people were isolated in the street. We were all friends. You could knock for Mrs. Welsh, you could knock for Mrs. Graham, you could knock for Mrs. Hunter, all friends together. As I suppose every pit village had the same street in those days. Unfortunately, the days have disappeared.
At what age did you go to school?
I would start when I was five and go to Ferry Hill Station, Chilton Lane School. I knew it as the Crag School. About 20 minutes walk there, 20 minutes walk back for your dinner, 20 minutes walk back for the afternoon session, and 20 minutes walk home at night. But I'm afraid I wasn't a good scholar. I didn't like school. I've always, and I always will, but I think it has changed now. I always objected that so many times the teacher was right, and every time I was wrong. And it used to rather, and it stuck in my mind all my life. For instance, I had to walk past the coal depot to school. And you got a black mark at school for dusty shoes, which you could not explain to a teacher that you'd walk through a pit yard. And so, probably my own fault, but I never liked school teachers. Never.
And you've mentioned black marks. Was corporal punishment much in the used at school?
Well, you could get the cane, but I think I only had it once. I smashed a school window playing cricketer, and I got 6, 3 in each hand. Which, those days, you accepted. You'd done wrong, and this was the punishment. And if you went home and complained, you were in bother again because you'd got into trouble. You'd let the family down, I suppose.
From the infant school, where did you go?
Well, down there was the infants, then into the juniors, and then into the seniors. In the seniors, you prepared for your 11 plus, which I'm afraid I never passed. And that was it. You never sat any more advancement exams at all until I left school. And I started night schools.
What age did you leave school?
14.
And you say you started night schools. What were you studying there?
You were supposed to study for a trade. Well, I was on a farm at the time. The colliery farm gave me a job. And I studied for 2 years and passed exams at night schools. But the third year of your study, you had to study your trade. And farming was not studied there. So, I had to leave, and it was no technical. They used to call it technical classes. Some lads learnt about their own trade, blacksmiths, electricians, fitters, motor mechanics, but there was nothing for farmhands. So, again, I was locked out.
You started, you say, on the colliery farm when you left school.
Yeah.
What was your first wage?
I couldn't say. Maybe it's about 7 and 6. The only outright number I remember, if I worked overtime, which you did for hay making and harvesting, you got 6 pence for your night work or your Saturday afternoon. That's the only thing that sticks out in my mind.
Farm labours were traditionally poorly paid.
Traditionally poor. And the colliery farm kept what they called a horseman, a cowman, and a hind. And the rest of us were young lads. 15 to 18. And at 18, you were transferred to Mainsford Colliery. You either went down the mine colliery to be a horsekeeper, because you were farm inclined, or, in my own case, I went in what they call the choppy house, where we made all the food for the ponies of all the surrounding dormant long collieries, Bowburn, Dean and Chapter, Mainsford. You chopped hay, you filled corn and mixed corn for horses.
What hours did you work on the farm when you started?
You were supposed to start work, you got paid from 7. But when you got your horse, which was a great day, you got your own horse and cart. You had to be there at 6:30 to get this horse ready to start work at 7, which meant you had to brush it, you had to water it, and you had to put the saddle on, the headpiece, and you were on the road at 7, for which you got nothing. And you finished work at 5, but you weren't allowed in to the stable before 5 to 5, and you, again, you had your horse to attend to cool off, to brush down, so you weren't leaving home maybe 4:15, 5:30. Again, you got nothing for that. And in the winter, you worked till 8 o'clock in the fields.
And this was general farm work?
Just general farm work. Hay making, thrashing, hoeing and snagging turnips, which was... I always said Hitler should have been made snug turnips. That's the worst job I ever knew of. Always.
Did you enjoy the work?
I think I did. I think I did. Until I got to about 17. And all my friends were at the colliery working normal hours, finishing at 4:30. Finishing at dinner time on a Saturday, and again I was left out. And I worked in a field next to the cricket field one Saturday afternoon, just two of us, an old man, George Wilson, who was close on 80 years of age, and he said, "Fred, you would prefer being in that cricket field to here, wouldn't you?" I said, "I would." "Well," he says, "take it from an old man who is still a farm labourer. Get out of this business before you're too old." And the next year I was fortunate enough to get transferred to Mainsforth College.
Well, you say you were preparing food for horses.
Yes.
The hours, were they basically the same? What hours did you work there?
Well, 7:30 till 4:30.
That would be, what, 5 full days a week?
5 full days a week, and 6 till 12 on a Saturday.
Was it a better wage?
Better wage, yes. Yeah, because you were going older then, you were getting to 18. And, of course, I just had a year, well, not quite a year there, and I was called up for the army. 39, the war started. 38, there was militias, I think, in 38. First, what they call first militia, and then the second militia, and then the war broke out, and I only had maybe 2 years down there.
Did you know or guess that war was coming?
No. I'm afraid, personally, that sort of thing never entered your head. The most important thing was, had Mainsforth won, had Sunderland won. I didn't know about Munich, I didn't know about Berlin, I didn't know about Newcastle in my day. You heard 6 o'clock news on the radio, and if you were busy, you missed it. There wasn't hourly news. So, personally, I never was.
Do you recall where you were and what you were doing when the announcement for the war came through?
Yes, I was in the house in Morrison Terrace, waiting for Sunday lunch, 11 o'clock.
Was it a shock?
Again, didn't mean anything to me. I'm afraid it didn't mean anything to me in those days.
Didn't register with you?
Didn't register that I would be called in. Until I got to my 18th birthday, and then I knew that other people were getting call up papers, so I thought mine won't be long.
Was there much talk about the war once it was announced within your own area, your own environment?
Oh, yes, quite a lot of people, because there were quite a number of families in the street had boys and young men who were of calling up age. In fact, three had joined. They joined so they could get their choice. They wanted the RAF, and they got in.
Were your parents, who had lived through the First World War, were they becoming worried at what may happen?
I imagine my mother would worry very much. but kept it to herself because she lost a brother in the First World War and would know what was coming. And their thoughts would be, we would have another great war, trench and slaughter and such like. But Father was very level-headed and kept himself to himself, his thoughts to himself.
Did your work or your life change in any way when war came in?
Well, ours didn't. Mine didn't. I can't remember it. As I say, it wasn't long before I went away after the war started. 39. I mean, start in September. I was in 15th of January, 40.
You were conscripted, were you?
Yes. Yes.
So what was the process of conscription? You'd get some form of indication or letter, notification?
Got a letter from the War Office to report to the Durham Drill Hall on the Friday morning for a full medical. And we went somewhere and all the doctors saw you, opticians, ear specialists, and all of them sat and passed you all your medical tests and went to see a colonel about what you want to do in the forces.
Had you any idea yourself about what you
wanted
to do?
Yeah, I wanted to be in the military police because I had a brother-in-law who was a policeman, and I was at 17 and 18. There used to be a correspondence form, and it was from Sheffield, Bennett's College, where you could sit for police exams at home by home study, and I did a few of those. And I was promised that I would get into police, but didn't.
You then go home, presumably, after your medical and your...
This colonel, I presume he was a colonel, said, there's not many asked for the CMP. He said, I'm pleased you have, and he says, the way you talk, you know a little bit about it, so I think you'll be safe there. That was on a Friday afternoon. And on the Monday, I got word to go to Bransworth Castle during the DLI.
How were you received on that very first occasion when you walked into the castle?
Lost and just herded about like cattle from morning till nearly 11 o'clock at night when we were bundled into a truck and taken from Bransworth Castle to Willington, where we were put in. It was just an upstairs of a store, Metcalf Stores, laid on the floor, not even any washing facilities. The washing we used was out. Always remember, we had to break ice on the fire buckets to shave and wash. And that was my first day in the forces. And it was in one of the coldest winters, among the coldest on record. In fact, we did most of our first 7 weeks training in this building. We couldn't get out. There was so much snow at Willington.
It must have been a tremendous change from home to the army, literally just like that.
Oh, tremendous shock, I suppose. Tremendous shock. But the thing I always remember, very fortunately, you had to travel by train, and in those days there was a railway station, Ferryhill Station. And I got in the train at Ferryhill Station. There was only one person in the railway carriage, and we both got talking to each other, and he was also being called up. He'd lived at Darlington, and he was going to Bransworth Castle, and we were friends all through the war.
What was his name?
John Wise from Darlington. And I suppose we One was down, the other picked him up, and you soon made friends, and it became an adventure, the training part there. Again, I could never stand the attitude of the instructors, the boring and the swearing. I could never understand that. I'd never heard it in my life. I never saw the need for it.